pamphlet is called The Mother. We'll start out with a quote by G.K. Chesterton. 10,000 women marched through the streets shouting, "We will not be dictated to," then went off and became stenographers. When we get rid of the supernatural, we end up with the unnatural. End quote. And then a quote from Phyllis Schlafly. It turns out that, like childcare, the workplace has its drudgery, its long hours, its repetitious duties, its demands that an employee accommodate herself to the schedule of others. Maybe the home is a pleasanter and more fulfilling work environment than the office after all. End quote. And now we begin our pamphlet with a quote by Joseph Cardinal Mancini. The most important person on earth is a mother. She cannot claim the honor of having built Notre Dame Cathedral. She need not. She has built something more magnificent than any cathedral, a dwelling for an immortal soul, the tiny perfection of her baby's body. The angels have not been blessed with such a grace. They cannot share in God's creative miracle to bring new saints to heaven. Only a human mother can. Mothers are closer to God the Creator than any other creature. God joins forces with mothers in performing this act of creation. What on God's good earth is more glorious than this, to be a mother? End quote. Now I ask you, is this not a beautiful conception of what a mother is? If all mothers saw themselves in this way, would they not be better and more positive examples to their young daughters? Wouldn't their daughters dream of the day when they too would become co-creators with God, a vessel to be used to bring a new soul into the world? A soul that she would spend the rest of her life consumed with, both the privilege and obligation to teach, guide, and protect from all dangers, both physical and spiritual? A full-time job, yes, but a great deal more. She has been blessed with a wonderful vocation that will bring her much happiness and joy, not only in the life to come, but also in her present life on this side of eternity. The benefits, both physical and spiritual, are beyond explanation, gifts that are granted the godly mother who lovingly embraces her motherhood. The word to remember is embraces. Please don't confuse it with the word accepts. Many women accept their motherhood, along with countless other worldly endeavors, and never achieve the fulfillment God in His goodness has designed for them. Pope Pius XII, in a talk under the title, "The Temptations of Our Day," had this to say concerning mothers who work outside the home. What of the children God sends them? How are these watched over, cared for, educated, and instructed? You see them first entrusted to the hands of a stranger, brought up and guided more by others than by their mother, who in the exercise of her profession is kept far from them. Why wonder if in these circumstances the sense of hierarchy in the family fades and begins to disappear? Why wonder if the supervision of the father and the care of the mother do not suffice to render the family circle happy and lovable? One can readily see that the Holy Father knew what he was talking about. We have but to look about at the many unhappy and broken families, a consequence of the motherless homes. There are those who do manage to hold the family together by fighting it out to the bitter end, but true happiness is not theirs to be had. They just learn to endure it all, a condition which over the years becomes extremely depressing. Are you painting the fence? Do you remember the story when Tom Sawyer was required by his aunt to paint a wooden fence? Tom was quite a con artist. Seeing a group of friends approaching, he pretended to be having a wonderful time. He was so persuasive that he actually got his friends to not only paint the fence, but they had to pay him for the privilege of painting it. Well, that is what the secular world has done to our mothers. Like Tom, the world is saying, Come and see. See how much fun I am having? Don't you want to have fun like me? I am nice. And since I am nice, I will let you paint my fence. Of course, you will have to pay me for being nice. You will have to give me your time, your interest, your mind, your soul, and most of all, I want your love. I will let you share some of it with your children, but only the leftover. The time, interest, and love that you can muster up after work, I will allow you to give your family. I know that it will be hard to give time, interest, and love after work, with all the frustration, fatigue, and clutter in your life, but that is the price you must pay to have fun like me and paint my fence.
Will you kiss my girlfriend? I'll pay you.
I would like to present this little analogy. Suppose you knew a young man who has a beautiful girlfriend whom he claimed to love very much. Then one day, while reading the newspaper, you find in the want ads that he is looking for someone to take this beautiful girl out. And not only that, he will pay for all the expenses. He states in the ad that he is quite busy with his career and needs someone to take her out and supply her with any physical and emotional needs she might require. He states for clarity that he truly loves his girlfriend, and that he does give her plenty of quality time. However, everyone knows that a man has to take care of his career. He has to make a living. Now, we know that it would be almost impossible to find a young man in his right mind who would make such an offer. How could a healthy, well-balanced young man want someone else to hug, kiss, and talk with the girl he loves? In my view, it would be just as illogical for a mother to pay someone to hug, kiss, and take care of her beautiful little child as it would be for a guy to hire someone to love and care for his beautiful girlfriend. One makes about as much sense as the other. Love cannot be hired out. This is the whole point. Like the story of Tom and the painting of the fence, we are being fooled into lifestyles that are completely illogical and detrimental to our families and ultimately to our society. Children need the companionship of their mother. No daycare can give to a child the needed love and companionship that a loving mother can. To argue the point is nonsense. Society has tried to put a good face on mothers leaving their children in pursuit of a career and the almighty dollar. But deep down inside, the godly mother knows the truth, and the truth tears at her heart. To relieve the guilt, many will involve the daughters in sports. This occupies the child's time with things that can rob her of a prized possession, her delicate femininity. However, the children are occupied, and mother is able to do her thing, and now she is even able to brag on how well the children are doing in sports. She never realizes that her little daughter is learning practically nothing of the things a godly wife and mother is supposed to know. Pope Pius XII had this to say on the subject: "The mother's absence from the home has another and more lamentable result. It affects the children's education, especially the girl's training and preparation for real life. Accustomed to her mother being always absent from home, and to seeing the home itself so dismal, she will not be able to find anything attractive in it, nor will she have any appreciation of its dignity and beauty, any desire to devote herself to it one day as wife and mother." Again, is there any wonder our young mothers are having such a hard time finding joy in their home?
The big lie. Our mothers have been sold the big lie. Fulfillment for a woman is only found outside the home. The job does not matter, even if it is digging ditches. She must work out the home. Have you ever seen women working on an asphalt highway in 100-degree heat? I have pity for the rugged-looking macho man who has to perform such a job. How much more do I pity some child's mother? Yet they are out there and the world applauds their progress. They have been liberated from that horrible place, the home. All this just illustrates the terrible outlook the feminists have instilled in the minds of our naive mothers concerning family life. the great English writer G.K. Chesterton left his readers with the unmistakable assurance that the most important things a mother has to do can all be achieved within the confines of her own home. A must. Here are a few things that should be on every good mother's must-do list. Number one, a mother must be cheerful. And the only way mother can be cheerful is if she believes that her role as wife and mother is wonderful and worthwhile, and that this vocation was bestowed on her by Almighty God at the moment she said the words, "I do." Number two, a mother must strive to make all those God placed in her charge feel not only loved, but that their very existence brings joy to her heart, and it must be authentic. Number three, a mother must, by word and example, teach the children to honor and obey their father. This could be her greatest contribution to the order of the home. If this is not done, all other good she accomplishes will come to naught. Her family will most certainly end in chaos. Number four, a mother must understand that the world has an unfair advantage over her. If she is to save her young daughters from the desire to leave the home for the synthetic glamour that the world so generously offers, she will be required to live her motherhood to its utmost perfection. By her life of love and dedication, a mother will convince her young daughters that God's plan for wives and mothers is far superior to the world's. This must be instilled in her daughters from their earliest years. The world is relentless in its determination to lure our young women away from the home. It is just as determined to hide the many pitfalls and heartaches that accompany the mother working outside her home. The world likes to portray the godly mother as someone with little or no ambition, one who squanders her talents performing tasks suited only for the uneducated and backward. Number five. A mother must understand that the world's values are quite different from that of the godly mother's. To the world, children are a burden, not a joy, a liability, not an asset, a shackle to be relieved of by the paid services of others, not a lovely bundle of joy. The mother who truly understands her dignity is determined that only she will have the pleasure of accompanying her daughter on the journey to true feminine fruition, and at the same time preparing her for an eternity with God. Conclusion. Many of our good mothers have been sold a false bill of goods. They were promised the better life. A life that would bring more fulfillment than staying home, cleaning house, and changing diapers. There were few who warned of the deception. The church, through its loyal shepherds, did speak out its warning. However, in so many instances, it never got down to the faithful. Without the benefit of proper education and guidance, most began to believe the world was more sympathetic and had more concern for the mother than the church. More and more mothers left the home in pursuit of what they were assured would be the better life. This left more and more young girls with no one to train them in the art of being a homemaker. The home became just a house, something that was constantly in need of cleaning, dusting, and fixing. When the home becomes just a house, it falls into the same category as the kids. It becomes a problem. For those who can afford to hire someone to take care of their undesirable problems, house and kids, their problem is minimized. What is needed today is an all-out effort to educate our mothers to the beauty of family life. We need the church to increase its effort to counter the world's false claims of freedom that lure many mothers away from the ones God has placed in their charge. We need more information that will aid our young mothers in their efforts to build a godly home. We must also keep in mind that many young mothers had mothers who worked outside the home. Therefore, they have no practical knowledge of how to occupy themselves as a homemaker. With no understanding of life, our young women are being herded through high school right into the colleges. They are now on the career tract, which was laid out for them by the feminists. They are taught many things through the educational system except the art of being a mother in its traditional sense. For the most part, they are actually being dissuaded from this type of mothering. These modern thinkers tend to ascribe to a have 'em and leave 'em philosophy when it comes to rearing children. Yes, the good cardinal is right. The mother is the most important person on earth, but sadly, most mothers don't know this. Our young women must be brought to the understanding that a truly educated mother is one who knows that she is the most important person on earth, and that her life is best lived surrounded by the family she loves. When this understanding is realized, family life will flourish. The mother must become all things to her family: teacher, interior decorator, chef, medical advisor, psychoanalyst, spiritual director, and most important of all, a loving friend who is there, always there. No college or university has the expertise to teach such a diverse subject as mothering. It can only be taught by a mother who has dedicated her life to the children she loves, and it is this love and dedication that make her the most important person on earth. We'll close with this thought. When the world, with all its glamour, turns our father's heart away from his wife and children, the church can either find ways to justify his actions or try to redirect his heart back to where it rightfully belongs. The church has the same choice when it comes to the mother. How the church handles this situation will determine the fate of the family.